Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Animal Addicts podcast. On today's episode, Casey talks about some interesting videos he watched while I bring up some ancient art. We talk about two favorites from the Oceana realm and learn about our animal of the week, which happens to be this month's listener's choice. To have a say in future listener's choice animals, join us at patreon.com/animaladdictspodcast. And now, let's jump into episode 29 of the Animal Addicts podcast. Hello and welcome to the 29th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new collective of animals. Yep. We had nothing to say after that. 29. What's special about 29? I feel like that's the year that a lot of people just say they are forever. It's like, this is my 10th, 29th birthday type situation. Anyway. But yeah, we're continuing in Oceana today. Pretty exciting stuff. We have a lot of flying things to talk about today.
No, we don't.
What? No, we don't. Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
That's true. Technically, we don't. Well, you'll see when we get there. But Casey, what have you been up to since last I saw you?
So, I am swamped with schoolwork, but I did manage to get like an hour of me time, and so I decided to catch up on watching some PBS Eon videos on YouTube.
Okay.
And those are basically like they're videos centered around like looking at like different fossilized animals and different concepts like that, or rating how evolution results in like some kind of behavior or something like that. And the two that I really liked, one of which is relevant, but the first one was the fact that they were talking about these prehistoric ants that they found in amber. They're colloquially called hell ants.
Of course they are.
How
big are they?
No, that's the thing. It's not because they're huge.
Okay.
They're very weird, though.
Okay.
First off, they have horns that come out of their head.
That's just funny. And I'm sorry. That's just weird. Okay.
There's a reason they have the horns, because you know how the jaws of most ants are like this?
Yeah.
Like horizontal?
Mm-hmm.
They are upright.
Both jaws?
Yes. The mandibles point up.
So how do you eat?
It closes up and the horn acts like the other part of a jaw.
Well, that's just weird.
Yes, it's cool.
Okay. So the horns are essentially a jaw.
Yeah. And they were talking about like why they're no longer around. They don't know, because after the discovery of these guys and some other ant species, there's a gap of several million years where there's no ant fossils.
Hmm.
And all of a sudden there's just this explosion of a proportion of ant species in insect collections and fossils.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the other one was, it's titled A Pandemic That Lasted 15 Million Years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Let's settle in, folks.
So that was basically around this. Viruses can't fossilize like other typical fossils. So basically the DNA of living organisms are fossils for those.
Okay.
Because there's these viruses called retroviruses, which have an enzyme called reverse transcriptase that turns their RNA into DNA and then gets incorporated into the host cell's genome.
Okay.
And then if the virus infects a germline cell, and those are eggs and sperm,
okay,
or zygote, and then that can get passed on down to next generation. And that happens with certain viruses for a long time. And then we can look that part of our DNA and look how that relates to how other viruses have evolved prehistorically, because this was a virus that infected several species of mammals over the course of 15 million years.
That's so weird.
Yep.
That's so weird.
Yes.
So there could be viruses.
We actually have two strands of it in our DNA.
Oh my god.
Because it infected the common ancestor of all great apes.
Okay.
Then infected the ancestor of the African great apes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's terrifying.
Yes. And it looks like the virus, because sometimes what happens is they're going to be, have you ever heard of crossing over?
I mean, yes, but like in terms of what you're talking about, probably no.
Yes, so it can happen with viruses, DNA, where it can happen where two viruses infect the same cell at the same time and then their DNA gets jumbled together.
Oh.
And another way is like if a cell already was infected by a retrovirus and then a new retrovirus infects, that can result in a new virus. Which appears to be what happened to this virus.
How it got mutated and everything.
Yes, and so by looking at that, the sequences, we can also see which strains are most closely related to who. And some of them make no sense.
That's crazy.
Yes.
But obviously a lot of these viruses that were fossilized, well, not exactly fossilized, but, you know, were survivable because we kept passing them down.
Yes, and sometimes it just... DNA works weird, and they can get incorporated into non-coding regions of our DNA.
So when they say we are the virus, like that's literally actually in our DNA, we are the virus. Yes. We are a virus, at least, not the virus.
And actually, these are endogenous retroviruses, what they're called.
Whatever that means.
For short, they're called ERVs, and it's estimated that they can make up to 8% of our DNA.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, keep in mind, only 2% of our DNA is for coding proteins.
That's nuts.
Yes.
What did you say, endogenous? Endogenous?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means that endogenous basically means that something gets engulfed and then incorporated.
Okay.
Like endosymbiosis, which is how they hypothesize eukaryote cells evolved.
All of that was just very clear with plain English that anyone would understand.
Yes.
100% with no issues. You're just talking to me like that made it clearer.
I associate with biology majors. We know certain things, so we can talk certain ways.
I'm just going to go off on music notation with you. Well, clearly the B flat was also an A sharp.
And one thing that they did was they're trying to figure out what this virus did when it was actually still a virus. And they compared it to modern day viruses. And it's most similar to a feline, I am trying to remember the word, oncogenesis virus, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Sure.
So, and that means, that's a virus that causes cancers.
Aw, kitties.
Yes.
Poor kitties.
So it's possible that that's what it did, but we're not entirely sure.
Okay, but either way, it's around for forever, and it's... still infecting us. Not infecting us.
Well, it's part of us.
It's part of us. Well, yes. Speaking of viruses, Casey.
Yes.
I got my second shot of the COVID vaccine, and it was not a smooth situation. So apparently a lot of people are having bad reactions to the second shot, and I think it's not just if it's Moderna. I think it's both, because when I had to talk to doctors so that I could get cleared to go back to work, she had had a Pfizer, and she said she also had a reaction. But anyway, so got my second shot. So I got it around noon on a Saturday. And then at about 10:30, I got insane chills. And I turned into a T-Rex, basically, because I was so tense from freezing that my arms were stuck, because our listeners can see us. But imagine a T-Rex. Basically, that's it. I was like this, except for this was happening. So then I tried to open a package, like a heat patch to put on me to warm myself up, and you're like trying to open a package and it's like you have like Parkinson's, essentially. It's really bad. So I had the chills that were insane for a few hours, and then eventually I took my temperature. I usually rest at 96.8. I have a low metabolism.
Yeah.
Low temperature. 101.9. So that's a solid 5-degree jump for me. And I felt like just general shit. So the horrible misery of the chills and everything went away after a few hours. But then I just felt like crap for like a day after. And then I wound up missing work, which really sucked because, you know, money.
Yes, it needs the money.
And also it kind of screws people over at work when we suddenly lose someone, which it's not expected. So anyway, but yes, so expect if you're getting that second shot, first one, not really a big deal at all. Little minor stuff. Couple people had minor reactions to that, but a lot of people had reactions to the second shot, and some people's were worse than mine. But I did hear from one of the doctors that they think it's worse if you've already had COVID. So I theoretically could have had a worse reaction than some people, because some people at work were fine and had just like the same reaction as the first shot. So theoretically, if you've had COVID before, it could hit you harder.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, anywho, it's crazy, but still get it. I mean, it's still like, you know, 2 days of not being happy for mostly,
before we converted to a gas and just...
Yes, before, you know, for a little bit. So you're protected for a little bit, at least. You know, it's not 100%, but it's supposed to protect you from death.
Yeah.
And horrible, horrible hospitalization and stuff. But you still can theoretically pass it on to people. So you still have to use your mask.
That's what the research now is being done, is see if you're still transmittable.
Yeah, they think you can still transmit, so you still have to be really careful. It just means that you won't get it and be hospitalized, but you can easily transmit it to other people. But it's still a plus.
Still wear a mask.
That I can't get it, but, you know, hence we still have our COVID screens up.
Yeah.
Because, hey, I've had my 2 shots, but until you get your 2 shots, COVID screens remain up and janky as ever. But we did comment today on how we ever did this with plastic wrap before, upgrading to cellophane, because it was, that stuff was fun. Every time we get to remake these, it's always an adventure. Anyway, but yeah, so second shot, woohoo. It kind of sucks a little bit, but you know, get over it. But I would probably say, especially if you have had COVID, even if you were, what was I? I was asymptomatic, even if you were asymptomatic like I was, maybe plan on feeling like crap for 2 days. So maybe like take a day off work in advance or something if you can. Anywho, so yeah, that's that. But I think it's time to get on to animals, Casey.
Yes.
And I know it's coming.
Yes.
And I'm terrified. And I'm just gonna segue with this. Just like viruses that apparently have been around for millions and millions of years, this aspect has also been around for millions and millions of years and is how that DNA gets to get spread down.
Yep.
So there we go. Casey, take it away.
Yes. In this being the week of love,
I know, right? Singles Awareness Day week, woo!
Yes. I decided I'm going to talk about some of my favorite examples of animal sex.
I'm just sitting this out. This is all Casey. I don't even expect anything from me on this one. I'm just...
Yes, and so because I've traumatized Allie with how females get treated, I'm going to start off with bad things that happen to males.
Okay, so far the only thing I know of is the mantis that rips their heads off, which I'm on their side.
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
So anyway, there's like the ants, which how they reproduce is the females called gynes. The males are also called gynes, the reproductive ones. They are, when they pupate, they have wings, and then they go off into this mating fight, have their fun times.
Yeah.
And then they go to the ground. They drop their wings and the males die because their sole purpose is to reproduce.
That's, I mean, kind of a sad life, but at least I guess you went out having, hopefully you had fun. I don't know. Do they even enjoy it? We don't know. Do insects enjoy it?
Probably not, since they have very simple brains.
Well, that does suck then.
And then with several species of bees. So, fun fact, the stinger on a bee, what that is just a modified ovipositor.
Yeah, I totally know what that is.
It's where the eggs come out. Ova, meaning egg, positor, deposit.
Okay, right.
So anyways, so the males don't have those. They have their actual reproductive organ called an ediacus.
Right, I remember that term.
Yes.
Couldn't tell you what it is. It's basically just what their
penis. It's an insect penis.
Right? That's right, okay, yeah.
Yes, so a lot of bees, when the males mate, when they reproduce with a female, their genitals get ripped out.
Ooh, ow.
Yes. And a lot of these females, they have what's called a spermatheca, so they can just store the sperm from that single mating event and never have to reproduce ever again.
So does the male die from that?
Yes.
Okay, that's a bad way to go.
Yep.
All right, well.
And then moving on to vertebrates. This is the only one where I can think of where the male gets screwed over. Okay. And it's not really all that much. It's with seahorses, which
they
is...
They just have to carry the babies.
Yes, they have
That's
to carry
it.
The
That's
babies.
That's getting screwed over. That's what women do all the time.
Two men, it's getting screwed over.
Yeah, well...
Anyway. We're weak.
That is very true. I think I told you, right, that I saw that one post about the guy saying when a grown man cries and it had to do with pain. And I was just like, that means nothing. You guys are weak. Anyway.
It reminds me of the videos where men, like, get the little electrodes to stimulate childbirth.
I want to check that. I want to have that done to me so I can see if it's actually accurate. So that I can be like, okay, yeah, this is right. And then give it to guy. And then just watch him basically, like, die. Like, I did that monthly.
Yes.
Anyway. But yes, anyway, back to horrifying sex stuff.
And another animal I like is octopus. Are one of my favorite animals on Earth.
They're pretty cool.
Yes.
They are pretty cool.
Yes. It's actually very easy to tell, relatively easy to tell the difference between a male and a female.
Okay.
Because a male has a modified arm that just has a bunch of sperm packets on it. It's called heterocotylus.
The way you said that, I just imagine like little like sugar packets and stuff. Like just he has these little packets. He's like, here you go. Anyway, it's called a
cotylus.
Okay.
Yes, so... They have to be careful because octopus are solitary, so the female may try to eat him.
Oh, shit.
So he has to sneak up and sticks his arm into her mantle to deposit a sperm packet.
What is her mantle?
The mantle, you know the big globular head?
Yeah, the big
That's the mantle.
Oh, okay.
All the visceral organs are in that.
Okay.
Including reproductive organs. And so he has to try to do that to deposit the sperm and then swims away.
Oh my god.
Well, walks away, because octopus can't really swim.
Okay. Or, like, jet away, whatever they do.
Repulse.
That's, yeah. Okay.
Yes. And there are some species where it can detach.
When he still lives and he does this on purpose?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's probably the smartest. You can just be like, drop it, run!
Yeah. Well, the males won't live very long after that.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. Octopus are live fast, die young.
But they're so cool.
Yes, which makes me sad because
they're so cool and they should be around longer.
Like the giant Pacific octopus lives the longest, and that's only about 5 years on average.
Really?
The oldest is probably like 10. Most octopus only live to be about 1 to 2 years.
That makes me so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I would love to have a pet octopus.
Same. I'm like, I want an octopus. Is there an octopus that you could keep in a tank? Probably not. They're gonna get.
You can buy octopus as pets.
Okay, but just you need. Here's the question: Is that actually responsible? Like, can you have one responsibly that will have a good life at your house?
Theoretically, you could. It would be very expensive.
Okay.
Because first off, you need a sealable lid.
Oh, that's right, because
they will climb out.
They'll just get out and escape.
Yeah, and you have to keep them stimulated. Like, at the Birch Aquarium, they have a Mr. Potato Head to keep their octopus occupied. Also, most places will, like, give them fish, but that's not really part of their natural diet. Most of what they eat is crustaceans.
So they're crustaceans, right? Even I know that.
And that's another cool thing. It's like, you can give them a jar. They'll figure out how to open the jar and get the crab.
I love that. I'd kill the crab so the crab didn't have to be in horror the entire time. But, yes. But, oh my gosh. I know. Watching them do jars is so funny.
But, yeah. They're just really cool.
They are.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yes, that's that for, like, the trauma of the males.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, for some of the females.
Yes, it's horrible.
Because there's, like, the parasitoid wasps where, like, the females will inject their eggs into...
Don't eat anything else. I'm done with parasitoid wasps.
They're cool.
We have hit the quota. That's it. That's the max. And you've talked about them like... And they've been different ones each time, I feel like. And it's been like six of them.
Yes, that's what's the cool thing. It's like now scientists are thinking that they're the most diverse group of insects on Earth. The hymenopterans, which includes the parasitoids. Because... most hosts will have, like, a couple different species that will parasitize them, but usually the parasites only choose one host. So you can think there's, like, 300,000 species of beetles. It's very likely each of them has some kind of parasitoid.
Wasp? Yes. Or something. Parasitoid something.
Well, most parasitoids. I don't...
This makes me like wasps less. I can talk, really. Because, okay, so when I was a kid, I could not go a summer without getting stung. And bees, they sting you and they're done, unless you get swarmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But wasps, oh no, those little fuckers just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And then little, like, six-year-old you is trying to get away from them, and they're just being assholes about it.
Now, I have to make a comment. because those are a very specific kind of wasp.
Okay, well, those wasps are assholes, and these parasitoid ones are also assholes.
So. They're in a group of insects called the aculeates.
Okay.
Those are the stinging wasps.
Okay.
The parasitoids do not sting like that. They're just merely using an ovipositor, like what a bee's stinger is, to deposit eggs into an organism.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the aculeates, those are the insects where their ovipositor has been modified into a stinging apparatus.
Are they trying to insert their eggs and shit when they sting?
No, it's been modified to inject venom.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
But most wasps do not do that. Okay. It's really mainly the... There's the tarantula hawks are cool, too. This is like last one, but they will, first off, they can take down a tarantula, hence the name.
Right, which is terrifying.
They keep it alive and drag it back to their burrow.
It's already worse. I hate them.
And lay their eggs on it for their young to eat fresh meat.
I hate it. I hate everything about that. They're awful. No.
Mm-hmm.
Tarantulas, I got your back. One's after you, I'm gonna kill it. Although I also hope I never see that, because that is terrifying, and I think that would take at least a shoe. It's like that. You can't use like a fly swatter on that. Okay, well, there's more of Casey's terrifying animal world of stuff, and he's so excited about it.
I love it.
Okay, well, you know what? We're gonna move on. Was that the main gist of what you need to talk about? Was there something else you needed to talk about?
No, I wanted to traumatize you, but one last point is like. So, sex is one of the big drivers in evolution.
Right.
And it's funny to think that, like, now sexual selection is very common, easily understood, relatively concept. Because, like, male peacocks look so ridiculous and costly to their survival to attract females and mate. Mm-hmm. When Darwin first proposed the idea of sexual selection, where males are growing these costly organs to increase their sexual fitness, everyone thought it was lunacy. And now it's like a well-established fact.
Well, everyone thought Darwin, everything was lunacy back in the day.
So not entirely. Like, we have this perception that back in that time, that the concept of evolution was what was controversial. Around that time, evolution was relatively widely accepted by naturalists because they weren't actually scientists yet. It was his process by natural selection that they disagreed with. Mm. And that was how it was for about 60 years before it became widely accepted.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. In fact, like, creationists, one of the things they will reference to all the time is actually a debunked hypothesis that some people had against natural selection, which was mutagenesis, which is basically where you have these random monsters, genetic monsters is what they call them, that just by accident turned out to be a successful organism.
Okay, great. But, also, I didn't mean with other naturals. I meant with the populace in general. Did not agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Much like today. Yes. And science, at least in the
U.S. In the U.S. Rest of the world is sensible, for the most part.
Well, not all of them. But
yes.
A lot of parts of the world. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. Well, another thing that's also ancient, Casey, and not disturbing, and fits in with Oceania. They have decided that they have found the oldest known cave painting.
Lovely transition.
I know, thank you. It's fine. And the oldest known animal drawing in the world is 45,500 years old. And it is a depiction of a hairy, warty pig.
Ah.
On a cave wall in Indonesia. That's what the new study finds. Anyway, I don't know why I'm doing like William Shatner speaking. But anyway, so it is the oldest animal art or cave art on record. And this one was found in ancient. I'm just going to skip ahead. Okay. So basically in December of 2017, I don't remember who Brum is because that's up higher in the article than you read, but he's some explorer, scientist person. Doctor, I don't know. Where are you first introduced, Brum? Oh, here we go. He's a professor. There we go. Oh my God, he's Indiana Jones. Okay,
Is he an anthropologist?
Archaeologist. Okay, first of all, Indiana Jones is an archaeologist, not an anthropologist.
You know, archaeology is part of anthropology.
But still, it's different. So how dare
I using the wide category, it would be like me getting offended for someone calling me a biologist and not an ecologist.
Okay, but either way, I love Indiana Jones, so you have offended my. Anyway, so he is a professor of archaeology at the Griffith University in Australia's Research Centre for Human Evolution. Anyway, so in 2017, he and his colleagues found at least 3 warty pig drawings in, I'm going to try not to kill this, Liang Tadong, something like that. I will obviously be linking the article. The cave on Sulawesi, an Indonesian island that's slightly larger than Florida.
Yep.
Good size for an island. Of course, kind of big. Anyway,
can they take
it? What? Can they take it? Please take this. anyway, the cave was in a small valley now inhabited by Bougies? Not probably.
Bougies!
This is not French. I'm gonna say Bougies. Farmers, an ethnic group in Indonesia, and there are no roads to this valley. Getting there from adjacent lowlands requires an arduous trek along a forest path that leads up into the limestone hills and ends in a narrow cave passage. This is the only entrance to that valley, Brum said. So despite the valley's proximity to the large city of Makassar? I don't know Indonesian. Anyway, according to the people who live in the valley, no Westerners had ever set foot in the place before this time. So Brum worked with an international team from Australia and Indonesia on the study that was published back in January 13th, essentially. Back in January on the 13th. So then obviously I have a picture of this, of the piggy. I don't know why I'm looking at this picture and nothing about this tells me that it's very hairy. Like, they kind of, you see the lines, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would that be hairy? Like, if I was just coloring something in and I didn't have endless supplies of paint, because what were they even using back then? Like, roots, I think?
I don't know.
Using? So, anyway, 45,500 years ago, at least. In Indonesia. Go Indonesia. I'm pretty sure that horse is in France, isn't it?
Wait, what? The horse. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I think that's like over in France.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I just feel like that's
ancient
the most
paintings.
Famous
yeah.
ancient painting. But anyway,
and now you're not allowed to go in.
Yeah, because now it gets ruined. But anyway, I can't imagine this is actually it because that is amazingly beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it is, go the people back then. There are some real freaking artists. But
yeah.
Anyway.
I think they're... It's been a while since I took the anthropology course, but I believe there might be one site where a painting or there's just some remnants of art from Neanderthals.
Mm, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know when we went to Canyon de Chelly, you can see some, it's kind of like carvings and paintings mm-hmm. necessarily, but you can still see them because you don't get that close to them, obviously. But there's like some carvings and paintings on the walls in the canyon. It's pretty cool. Mm.
Nice.
But anyway, I just love that, like, the sub-headline thing for this is that piggies were painted in Indonesian caves. Anyway, so yes, I will be linking that article, so follow us on Twitter to see that. Yay, ancient. We've just talked about all kinds of ancient things today.
Yeah.
Didn't we? And speaking of more ancient things, because I'm pretty sure these date back a while.
I have no clue. I don't know the evolutionary history of them much.
But I imagine because one is a murder one, and I imagine that I very much see that as a dinosaur. So anyway, let's get into it. It was Casey's turn to pick our favorites this week, and he went with, what did you go with, Casey?
I went with our favorite Oceania birds.
Yes. So when we were even trying to put together animals to talk about this month, we had so many bird options because the birds in the area are awesome.
Yes.
There's so many cool birds. And I can't even 100% say that mine is my absolute favorite, but it is pretty freaking cool. So.
Yeah.
And yours
is just,
cool.
I didn't notice until when I was typing it up the other day that we chose them from the same group of birds.
We probably did. But they're also, honestly, these two are well known.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yours is definitely very well known.
I don't know if many people know about kiwis.
They don't know. Well, they just gave away what it is. But they may not know about them, but they've heard the name.
I could have been talking about the fruit.
Because also, it's yes, that's your favorite fruit. Well, that's why it doesn't
I don't know if I've ever had a kiwi, actually.
But also, New Zealanders are referred to as kiwis.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so like an entire country. Anywho, but well, now that we obviously know
I didn't say which species. Okay, so it's not Chipotle ruined.
Okay, Casey, who's your favorite? So we don't get a drum. We have to fix our drum roll anyway, but we're not doing a drum roll for this.
I know.
Who's your favorite Oceania bird, Casey?
The southern brown kiwi.
Yay, okay, tell us about them.
Yes, so its scientific name is Apteryx australis.
But they're in New Zealand.
Yes.
No. Okay, well, they weren't deciding this when they ended these things. Continue.
I don't know who discovered it. But they are endemic to New Zealand.
Okay.
And as their name suggests, they are found on the South Island.
Okay.
Yep. So these guys primarily live in subtropical and temperate forests. They will also sometimes go into grasslands.
Okay.
Sorry, you looked at... I thought you were looking at me weird.
No, but just continue. What?
Okay. So they are a flightless species of ground-dwelling bird.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have vestigial arms that are very small.
little T-Rexes.
Yeah, little T-Rexes. That reminds me of a bird we're going to have to do in a few months.
Okay.
And they will actually make little burrows under logs, stones, and bushes.
This is so cute.
Yes. So in the wild, they live to be about 20 years.
Okay.
And then in captivity, they can typically live to about 30 years. There's been a few cases of them living to be about 40.
Wow.
Yes. They are a carnivorous species, too. They primarily eat insects, but occasionally will eat some fruit, but most and sometimes small arthropods.
They ever eat kiwis?
Are kiwis on kiwi?
Are kiwis on New Zealand? I don't know.
I don't know. I think, no, it's not. I have no clue. But
anyway, continue.
It's a berry. I guarantee it. Well, yeah, I guarantee kiwi's a berry. I took botany, I found out, like, almost everything's a berry.
When in doubt, it's a berry.
Watermelon's a berry. That's... Strawberry's not a berry.
That's so weird. All right, continue.
Yes. So they have these very long, narrow bills that they use to stick into the ground and then pick out the insects. Then they beat it to death with their bill onto the ground or a rock.
Oh, my God.
And one unusual aspect about them is they have a highly developed sense of smell. Birds are well known, well, if you're a scientist, you know this, are well known for having poor sense of smell.
I would just assume birds don't smell well.
Yeah, they don't.
Because it doesn't seem like the beak would be very good at that.
Yeah, no. So they have a highly developed olfactory center, and so they can pick up smells very well, especially since they're looking for stuff in the ground.
Yeah.
And it is also a nocturnal species, and it is actually the only extant species of rhydite that is nocturnal.
I mean, the only one that's not extinct.
Yes.
Yay, okay.
I don't know much about
it. It is nocturnal, okay.
Yeah, and rhydites include kiwis, ostriches, rheas, cassowaries, that kind of stuff.
Emus too?
Emus too.
Yep, okay.
Mm-hmm. And these are the smallest of the rhydites, being only about 3.5 kilos.
Can you imagine? Cocaine. I need 3 kiwis of cocaine. Anyway, we're going to learn our metric conversions through cocaine, everyone. But, okay, could you imagine that standing next to an ostrich? That'd be crazy. I'd have to stand, like, on an ostrich because it would get stepped on. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. But they get to be about 54 centimeters long, and they are a typically monogamous species, but they will wander away if a better mate walks along.
Oh, so they divorce and move on.
Yes.
Okay. I was like they get, like, they have a little midlife crisis and go have a fling and come back, or they, like, flung it.
That is a concept in some animals. It's called an extracopulatory partner.
Okay.
Yep. And the cool thing about these guys is their eggs.
Okay.
Because they will lay one egg at a time. Because they can only weigh one egg at a time, because it's about a third of the female's body weight.
Oh my God, why?
Yes, and that makes it the largest egg in relation to body size.
That poor little kiwi.
Yep. So they only will lay one at a time,
because
that's all they can basically actually do. And currently they are assessed as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List. It's approximately 19,000 left.
Okay.
And currently they're in decline. Main threats to them are introduced species, such as domestic dogs, pigs, ferrets, cats, people. Yep. And they
I'm
have
assuming the ferrets go after the eggs, not the kiwi itself.
Probably.
Okay.
Actually, no, they might go after the kiwi. Aww. At least the young ones.
Stab them, kiwi. Stab them with your beak.
Yeah, it's being on New Zealand, they have no natural predators, so they have no defenses against these guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and fun fact, back in 2006, avian flu was actually spreading through New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And so they actually made a vaccination program to vaccinate all the kiwis there.
Oh. Yep. This is why we like New Zealand, because that's also good for people and for everything. It's like, if we take care of this, we help take care of us, and also we actually care about things.
Yeah, but here in America, we think very short term.
I know. Anyway, continuing.
And that is the kiwi.
Well, moving from a small ratite. Ratite, is that what it is?
Yes, it's a ratite.
To a much larger ratite. also, this I was going to pick as my favorite murder bird, but then I realized there are basically only like three murder birds, so it'd be weird if we were to choose our favorite murder birds, even though there are different types within them. But I feel like only the ostrich, the emu, and mine, the cassowary, are murder birds. But at least with this murder bird...
There's one venomous species.
Look, that's crazy. but I mean murder with, like, eviscerating you with their foot. They could, like, peck you up really bad, too. But, like, mostly the foot. I'm like, get that away from me. Mine is the cassowary. And they're beautiful. And at least you get to see something pretty before you die. Horribly. Anyway, so I went with the southern cassowary. Here we go, as always. Let's get the scientific name going. What? Cassowarius? I love it. It's literally cassowarius.
Yes.
This is my fit. Okay, aside from the secretary bird, Sagittarius serpentarius?
Yes.
Yeah. Cassowarius is probably my second favorite. Okay. I need to be able to see this. Oh, my eyes. Okay. Some live in northern Australia, but most of their range, is in Papua New Guinea and some surrounding islands of, obviously, that area. They live primarily in rainforests at lower elevation. Makes sense with all of their colors. That'd be weird in the middle of a desert. Yep. lifespan is unknown for wild individuals, but they can live to be 20 to 40 years old in captivity. The largest of the three cassowary species, they weigh up to 59 kilograms. They are 1.2 to 1.7 meters long.
That's a me.
That is a you. Isn't that more than a you?
No, I think it's about my height.
And they're 1.7 meters tall. Pretty tall dudes.
Yeah.
And dudettes. They are sexually dimorphic. Species in which the females are larger than the males. Yes, lady. They are a polyandrous species, meaning a single female will mate with multiple males during the breeding season. And I like the cassowary even more. They're like flashy, they got going. Females will start a new nest with each male she mates with. It's like, which child is better? Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Where are you? Okay. After she lays the egg, the male is responsible for tending the nest and protecting the chick when it hatches. 100% my favorite murder bird, without a doubt now.
That's actually a very common trait of the larger ratites.
Yeah, well, larger ratites are awesome. Just not for humans if you mess with them. Anyway.
Now I need to look up if Rhea's will do damage to you.
If they use their foot too, yeah. Anyway, so, yes, okay. So then the males obviously look after the nest, and then they typically take care of the chicks until they're about 9 months of age. They are well known for having a bright blue skin color, and they have two red wattles.
Like a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Except prettier.
Hanging down from the front of their neck. If you can't imagine that, you will know what we're talking about when I post a picture, because it's very obvious. They don't start to get their bright coloration until they're about a year old. And they did follow, I forgot their names now, but on the Secret Life of the Zoo or whatever, San Diego version.
Oh, the Zoo San Diego.
Yeah, that. I obviously know because I've seen like four episodes.
Yeah.
They follow a little cassowary. What was her name?
I can't remember.
Isn't she at the... She's at the park, too, isn't she?
Yeah, but they're all on the...
She's not on display.
Yeah, no, that's the off-site.
Anyway, but they follow a little cassowary, and I'm shocked they're even with them as long as they are. I'm like, I don't care about the pecking. I'm just going to rip you apart with her foot if she gets mad. Anyway, where was I? Okay. So when they are young, they have a rusty brown color, as you will see if you see that show. They are frugivores. We know what that means, but we're going to tell you anyway.
Repetition is key.
It is. Meaning they primarily eat fruit, so they are more important as ecosystem engineers. Again, another term we've heard. Helping to disperse seeds of various plant species. Despite being frugivores, though, they are known as the most dangerous bird in the world. They are the number one murder bird.
Yep.
I feel like it's probably because they're so pretty, people try to get close to them, and then they get killed. Because an ostrich is pretty nasty, too.
Yeah. And they're actually bigger, too.
The cassowary?
Ostrich.
Yeah, no, yes, ostrich is definitely, I was like, an ostrich is the biggest.
Yes, I know it's the biggest.
I do want to ride one someday, but that will never happen.
No, their bones are brittle.
But their bones are also big. They're a very large bird. But anyway, I know I can't. I'm just saying. I want to be like Lion King, and I just can't wait to be king and get to ride an ostrich.
It reminds me of that, if you ever seen, I think it's called Zookeeper, there's a part where Kevin Hart gets on top of a CGI ostrich.
Oh, God. The ostrich would kill you. Anyway, it's a dangerous bird in the world. So they are highly territorial and will attack humans when encountered. Also, they have an elongated claw on both feet. That's what we're talking about of what's going to eviscerate you. It's super strong, basically with one kick. I assume it's the same for cassowaries because they're pretty big. But ostrich can, like, rip a lion up with one strike of their foot with that huge claw. But it's also very strong. So
it's a basic raptor claw.
Basically. We're talking dinosaurs, okay? But think of, like...
Well, birds are dinosaurs.
Of the little claw, like in Jurassic Park, and they tap it on the kitchen floor. Except for that's, like, 3 feet long coming at you. Anyway. So the southern cassowary is listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List, probably because they're like, don't fuck with us. estimated to be between 20 and 50,000 mature individuals left. There are major threats as far as habitat disturbance is development of roads that leads cassowaries getting hit by cars. Ooh, that'd be bad for everyone involved. That's like hitting a deer. That's not a good day.
It's actually probably not that as bad because birds tend to have more white, light skeletal structure.
That's true, but I feel like that's still going to jack your car up. Oh, cool. And now
probably.
The thing won't move. Okay, there we go. Anyway, and then introduced species are another problem for them as well. Feral pigs and dogs have had a negative impact on their population. I'm sure they go after the eggs, I would imagine, because a cassowary could do away with a pig or a dog pretty quick. So anyway, but they're really cool. They are gorgeous. They're just also terrifying. So know what to think is beautiful and what can kill you. So cassowary. I think I'm going to add them to my army. We're going to have to add, you know how we have our formal beasts and our battle beasts? We're going to have to start adding our army together. Cassowaries are in mine. They're one of my front lines. Because they're pretty nasty. Anyway. It just looks at me like...
Why do I feel like this is your plot to take over the world?
It's just my animal army. If I were a real druid and I could communicate with animals, you wouldn't be able to because they would just use drones and end it. Anyway. Our awesome Oceana birds. Casey, before we go into our animal of the week, which is also our listener's choice this week.
Yep.
What did Michael say? Don't be looking at my notes.
You think I can read that?
What did Michael say to his friend after asking him to pet sit his bird? What was his follow-up comment after like, do you mind pet sitting my bird?
I have no clue.
As long as it's not too much of a burden. anyway, we're very bird-themed today.
We are.
Speaking of birds, our animal of the week, are you ready, is...
The South Island Takahee.
Takahee! They're pretty cool.
Yes.
Tell us about them. Again, this is Listener's Choice, Patreon Listener's Choice. If you want to choose, join Patreon at the second tier, and you get to choose. Continue on.
Yes, so these guys belong to the order Gruiformes.
Okay.
Yes, so fun, just a little side note, Gruiform means crane-like.
Those... I haven't really seen them, but I think the one picture I've seen, they do not look like a crane to me.
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
Because they're stretch. In, but they are in the family Rallidae.
That means nothing to me, but okay, great.
Those cool. are the rails.
What does that? That's the type of bird. Obviously.
Yes, it's a typically the ground dwelling birds, long legs, long toes.
Okay.
But they don't look like a lot of other rails.
Okay.
Yes. Their species name is Porphyrio hoogstetteri.
Haha, now you're struggling.
Hoogstetteri.
Okay.
It's technically I, but whatever.
Whatever.
These guys are also endemic to New Zealand.
Yay, New Zealand!
Specifically the South Island, hence the name. Although you can just call them Takahi because the North Island Takahi is extinct.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah. You could just say the Takahi.
Yeah. Some now are living on wildlife reserves on the North Island. And they primarily live in grasslands and river flats. If you know what those... Kind of like a mud flat.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I'm like assuming imagining. People know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, occasionally they'll live in scattered shrublands and only in, like, cold winters where everything's buried will they go into the forest.
Forest and stuff, okay.
Mm-hmm. And in the wild, they live to be about 14 years old. In captivity, they can live into their 20s. They're a moderately sized bird. They can weigh 2.5 kilos and are 63 centimeters long.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yes. They're primarily herbivorous, and technically they're what's called a folivore.
What is that?
Basically, an animal that eats leaves.
Oh, okay. Oh, foliage. Yes. Essentially. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their bulk of their diet is composed of various species of tussock grass, and they'll just pluck at the leaves on the grasses.
So, if leaves fall off of plants, can they just eat those, or are those too dead and lacking of nutrients at that point for them to eat?
They would probably not.
Okay, so they take it off a live one.
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll also, in like winter when it's all cold and frozen, mm-hmm. they'll dig in and eat what's called a rhizome. From the, okay. And that is a special horizontal stem that plants grow in order
Whoa.
To spread out.
Okay.
It's how cool. grass grows. All
right.
And bamboo, because it's a grass. And that's why it all dies at once.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes. They will occasionally eat insects, especially if they're raising chicks. And like I said, they're a moderately sized bird. And like the kiwi and the cassowary, they are flightless.
That's why I said we're talking about flying things and literally none of them fly.
Yep, they have vestigial wings as well. They're only really used in courtship.
There's like more birds than you think that don't fly, you know?
And a lot of them are on islands.
I used to think penguins and ostrich, right? And then you grow up and you're like, oh, nope, all of these.
Yep. Yeah, it happens a lot with birds that their ancestors flew onto the island. No competition or predators. They stay there. No longer sense. Need their wings. Yep. And they have a large red beak, and it's pretty strong and useful for stripping the leaves off of plants. Mm-hmm. And what is cool about them is their head and breast, and really neck area, the front half of them basically, is kind of like the deep blue color you see on the head of a peacock.
Okay.
Yep, and then the big bright red.
It's very eye-catching.
Yes. Except it's not a result of sexual dimorphism, because okay. males and females both have that coloration.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And they typically live in pairs or small groups, but they can be very territorial, especially if it's around the time they're incubating their eggs.
That makes sense.
And these guys are a monogamous species, and pairs, bonded pairs will actually be found together a lot, except during incubation time, so... They suspect there's always one parent watching and sitting on the nest while the other one goes out to get food.
Makes sense, yeah.
And they usually like work in shifts. Like, I think typically male is out during the day, whereas female at night.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or I might have the reverse. I would have to look.
Someone has the graveyard shift, and someone has the normal person shift.
Yes.
The 9 to 5.
Yep. And females only lay about 2 to 3 eggs, and typically only one offspring will make it to adulthood.
That's, I feel like, typical for most birds.
It's life.
Good thing humans aren't like that anymore.
Is it really? I'm not going to say it. So these guys are listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List. estimated to be about 250 mature individuals left.
Okay.
400 total.
On this small island of New Zealand.
Yes. Well, it's... I don't know how big New Zealand is, actually.
New Zealand is not that big. I mean, it's not teeny tiny, but, like, it's not giant. It's not Australia. It's not a whole little continent.
You want to know a fun fact? This is completely unrelated.
What?
Australia is bigger than Pluto.
That's why it's a dwarf planet.
Yes.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Moving along.
They're actually believed to be extinct and were classified as such in 1898.
Okay.
Were rediscovered in 1948. They were found in Fiordland's Murchison Mountains.
Wow, that was struggling.
Yes, I can't talk.
Okay.
And after the rediscovery in the area, that area was definitely a special area for the birds and was not, no public access was allowed.
Yeah.
And it's unknown if they were in that area because it's where no threats were, or if it serves as an important area for them to survive.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
And soon after they were rediscovered, it became apparent that they couldn't just leave them on their own, so they made a special management program. And ever since, they have been called a conservation icon by the New Zealand's Department of Conservation.
I want to work in New Zealand's Department of Conservation because you'd actually be respected and able to do things there. Yeah. And actually help with critters.
Yes. And so the biggest threat these guys face now is introduced species. They get hunted by domestic dogs and stoats.
And stoats?
Yes.
Stoats.
It's like a little ferret thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure when we did our Europe month, you picked a stoat.
I did not pick a stoat.
I'm pretty sure you picked a stoat.
I picked a beach martin.
But they're closely related to stoats.
Okay.
I think. I don't know mammals. And similar to the kiwi, they have no natural predators, so they have no defenses against these guys. Yep. And they're also threatened by introduced red deer, because they're competition for grasses. Mm-hmm. And deer, whenever they're introduced, they like eating young saplings of plants and prevent mature individual plants from growing, and they degrade the environment.
Gotcha, Wasn't that a problem in America, too, though? Didn't we have issues with that, too, somewhere in America with deer?
It's a problem right now in Catalina.
Oh, that's where it was, I guess. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somewhere. All right, well.
It's actually in a lot of places because over on the East Coast, there's still no wolves and cougars, really. So they're just breeding out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Trees aren't growing right. Birds are dying.
Mm-hmm. Circle of life, whole situation. Mm-hmm. This was a weird circle, but anyway.
Yeah, it looked more like a figure eight.
It looked more like a groovy. I don't know what's happening.
But yeah, that is the Takahi.
All right, the Takahi. So we talked about three flightless birds today. Which kind of kiwi? Something brown kiwi.
Southern brown kiwi.
Southern brown kiwi, the southern cassowary. And wasn't it also the
South Island Takahi?
But also just the Takahi.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are going to move on into a challenge, Casey.
Yes.
So this, I had a game day. I enjoy board games and things like that. And we came across a new game called Wits End, which I think is named that because you get frustrated and you just want it to end at a certain point. But there are interesting questions in here, and they're different. They're different little categories. So I pulled some of them out of the game. I then went and purchased the game because that's how I am. There are also a bunch of questions about musicals that I slayed. So anyway, so I went through here and pulled out some animal-related ones. So just so you know, there are different little categories. There's the teaser, which is basically going to be they're going to give you two hints to try and get this word. And they're not necessarily related, but you have to try to figure that out. There's also the odd one out, so obviously we're going to give you options of four things, and you have to pick which doesn't fit based on whatever the criteria is. There's sequence, where you usually have to list them in order chronologically or by length or weight or whatever. That one sucks. Usually I do terrible at it.
Okay.
I will also say, in the main game, sequence sometimes is like, which Supreme Court justice retired at the same time? And they're none of the ones any of us knew. So it was probably back in like the 80s, late 70s when I'm like, I don't know when they retire.
Yeah.
I mean, lately they all die, so.
That's true.
Is it only the last three? Didn't they all die? Or did one retire?
Kennedy retired.
One retired. Okay, sorry. One retired. Other two. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then the wild card can be all kinds of things, so that's all over the place. But anyway, so I think with this one, let's not even do a timer. We're just going to go through these cards. I think there are 12 cards. Maybe we'll do 10.
Okay.
10? Okay, we'll just do 12. If we're taking forever, we'll just stop at 10.
Alrighty.
And let's just see who does the best. Mm-hmm. So basically, you read the question on the back, it has the answer. So just don't do the answer. But we'll say, I'll read I guess we'll just read our own.
So I read what's on the front?
You just read it and read it out loud, and then you can flip it over on the back and see what the question is, and we'll see if you get it right.
Okay. A common brown bird with traces of black in recent hit films, a pirate named Jack.
I know this one. This one's easy.
So I have to turn over the...
No, you have to guess it before you turn it over.
You were saying the question. Answer.
Figure out what the answer is, and then you turn it over to see if you're right.
Okay, now I get it. I thought you were saying there was a question part on the back.
No. I said the answer on the back.
Okay. A common brown bird with traces of black in recent hit films, a pirate named Jack.
That's what gives it away right there.
A pirate named Jack.
Mm-hmm. I'm not helping you. Okay, well, I'm going to say what it is before you turn it over. And I have not verified that my answer is right, but I'm sure it is. Are you ready? Because mm-hmm. you get a limited amount of time on this. A sparrow. Okay. Captain Jack Sparrow, Casey.
Okay. Oh, okay. I was thinking in, like, reference to what bird was on one of the movies.
No.
Yeah. I'm an idiot.
So you don't get that one.
No.
Okay. All right, let's see. Matching pairs. From the birds listed below, select two which are flightless. One is a kiwi. And an emu.
Oh my gosh. This is cheap.
So one is, I haven't even heard of, a jacana, an emu, a kiwi, and a grebby. So obviously an emu and a kiwi are the two that are not are flightless. And yes, it's obviously going to be the emu and the... and again, Australia, New Zealand. How on point was that card? Okay, next one for you.
If French, ready your lips for animals' hard pointed tips. Snail?
No, wait. No, what?
Like,
no.
Huh? If French.
Yes.
Ready your lips
mm-hmm.
for animals' hard pointed tips.
What do animals have that have hard pointed? Okay, this one we did in the actual game, so. We worked together and we got it.
Wait.
What do animals have that are hard pointed tips? There's only like two things.
There's like spines.
Oh, no. One is shed and one is permanent. I'm just kidding.
Wait, one is shed, one is permanent. Oh, horns and antlers.
So pick one.
Horns.
Yes. Flip it over, you'll see why.
Horn, the reference is, oh my gosh, you're a French horn.
Yes. Although you're getting all the teasers. Okay, I do have some teasers in here, though. Okay. All right.
Don't like teasers.
Which one of these animals isn't mentioned in the traditional song Home on the Range? Sorry, Casey.
This was rigged.
Where are the buffalo in that? Home on the Range. Well, I don't think coyote's in it. There's coyote, antelope, buffalo, and deer. And obviously the antelope and the deer play, which they do in Arizona. I'm going to say that the buffalo are in it, so I think coyote's not in it. Maybe I'll get it wrong. Coyote. No, that's right. All right, on to Casey.
Yes. Arrange these by total length, longest to shortest.
He has a sequence.
Bowling ring tyrant from, oh, longest to shortest. Bowling lane, Tyrannosaurus, blue whale.
So longest first.
Yeah, that's blue whale.
Yeah, I would say so.
Tyrannosaurus. Or bowling lane. I go bowling. I don't know if that's...
I would think bowling lane next, too. I don't know.
I'm going blue whale, bowling lane, Tyrannosaurus.
All right, flip it over. See if you get it.
Blue whale, bowling lane, Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, you got that one finally. Right. Keep that one separate because you got it right. All right. It means to close. Think envelope or box. Picture this mammal sprawled on the rocks.
What?
This one's hard. It means, we need to have a timer so we can like have a little flippy like 30 second timer. It means to close, think envelope. Oh, a seal. You seal an envelope.
Yeah.
There we go, okay.
Okay.
It's gonna be a pain to do a 30 second timer every time though. We need the little flippy flips.
Yep. A pigeon that's shot at, but no one cares. And for some artisans, it's in their wares? What? A pigeon that's shot at, but no one cares. For some artisans, it's in their wares.
Oh, I know what it is. That makes sense. So they usually say pull, and then you, like, shoot it. It's like old school. Now I know what it is. I don't know it.
Duff.
It's going to be clay.
Clay.
Because they do, like, pull, and then they, like, throw the little clay pitch.
Sorry if you got this wrong. Promote.
Well, you put up, like, actual board game parts, so you don't have to do that. Yeah. All right, my next one is arrange these animals by maximum lifespans, longest to shortest, cat, dog, and horse. Putting cat first. I don't actually know how long horses live is the problem.
Mm.
Well, how long was Vanity around? I'm going to say cat, horse, dog. Nope, horse, cat, dog.
Yep.
Nope, got that one wrong. All right, on to Casey.
All right. Down memory lane. What were the three houses made of in the child's story? The three little...
You gotta give me.
Straw, stick, and brick.
Yes. There you go. You got an easy one. Are you happy?
Yes.
Okay. In this kind of flow, a shortage may not be funny, but imagine a cow giving not milk but money. A cash cow is my guess. Yeah. There's no cash flow. Yes.
Arrange these seafood types by how much Americans consume annually, most to least. Shrimp, salmon, cod. From most to least, I will say, Shrimp, salmon, cod. I'm going to say salmon, shrimp, cod.
That would be my guess.
Shrimp, salmon, cod. Damn it.
Oh, man. All right, let's see.
The psych trick. I hate those.
Three of these are characters created by Beatrix Potter. Which one isn't? I'm terrible. I'm not going to know these. So Peter Rabbit, Rocky Raccoon, Squirrel Nutkin, and Tom Kitten. Do you know?
Say it again.
Three of these characters created by Beatrix Potter. Three of these are created by Beatrix Potter. Which one isn't? A, Peter Rabbit, B, Rocky Raccoon, C, Squirrel Nutkin, and D, Tom Kitten. I don't even know if Beatrix Potter is the author of Peter Rabbit. I'm going to say yes.
I think she is.
I'm just going to say Rocky Raccoon. Ha! It's a Beatles song. Didn't know that, but okay. All right.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Add to head a shark's name you complete. Take only the first three. Wait, what? Add to head a shark's name you complete. Take only the first... Oh, hammerhead.
Yes.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Originally, an iconic British car resembles a leopard from afar. I'm going to say a jaguar. A jaguar. According to the Brits. Yep.
All teasers. It's linked to worm, but not snake, and not to squirm, but to quake.
Oh! I know this one now.
It's linked... to worm,
mm-hmm.
but not to snake, and not to squirm, but to quake.
Mm-hmm. I get it now.
I don't.
We get them out here.
We get them out here?
Yes, instead of tornadoes.
Earthquakes.
Yes.
That's not an animal.
It doesn't have to be an animal. It just has to do with an animal. The clue has to do with an animal.
That's hardly snakes. Animal,
right? There was worms and snakes mentioned. Gosh, okay.
That's bull.
It's not a bull. It's an earth. Okay. It's supposedly hard to ignore if in the room. Call this female a cow. Trouble won't loom. I'm going to think it's elephant. Are female elephants cows? I don't even know.
Pretty sure.
Elephant. The expression the elephant in the room is hard to ignore a female. Yeah, it's called a cow. All right. Mm-hmm.
A young animal, perhaps on a farm, an expression, gloves that won't harm.
I know this one.
I don't.
Given I did get to read these once before.
A young animal, perhaps on a farm.
That's key.
An expression, gloves that won't harm.
Mm-hmm. Or think that, and then you can figure it out.
Gloves that won't harm.
We're going to handle someone with gloves.
What?
I'm not helping you with this one past that.
A young animal, perhaps on a farm. Pigs? I don't know.
Kids.
Kid. This is bull.
It's a baby goat. A baby goat is called a kid.
Yeah, I know that.
And kid gloves.
Kid gloves? What?
You've never heard the term kid gloves?
No.
Kid gloves. I'm like, you're being extra, like, nice and sweet and careful because they're sensitive or whatever the fuck.
We never do that. You smack them upside the head.
Half the time when you're doing kid gloves, you're not using talking to kids. Talking to difficult people. Okay. Which of these animals does not typically live longer than 20 years? A, a chimpanzee. B, a lion. So I should know this, but I don't. C, an elephant. And D, a grizzly bear. Well, longer than 20 years, I'm going to say a lion, because they usually don't, at least in the wild, they don't. Yes, lion.
To address a physician, an informal word.
Oh, I know this.
In Bugs Bunny's famous words, it comes third. Doc?
Yeah.
Doc.
A physician, informal word.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. It's a currency and a measure of weight. For some animals, the place of their fate. Okay. Oh, a pound.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. All right.
Bull, I'm getting hard ones. A footprint not left by the foot or of a man or beast, and a form of dating to a geologist at least. Radiometric? Radio?
What? What? Even I got this and I'm not a geologist.
Wait, geologist?
Geologist. It's a type of dating. Blank dating.
Radiometric.
No. Think more of a normal person who doesn't know these things.
I can't think like a normal
it's also
person.
It's a very annoying thing we all always say, oh, your footprint.
Carbon.
Yes.
Geologists do not use carbon dating.
I don't know.
That's bull. That's they don't use carbon dating.
Okay, well, somebody does. You can argue with
the yeah, paleontologists on young enough fossils. This is a lie. This is such bull.
These other ones are not bull, okay? So you just
they're bull.
That's the only one you have an actual words with, disagreement with. Okay. List these animals by average weight, most to least. Tiger, gorilla, lion. I really don't know.
Wait,
tigers are the biggest.
What is it?
But list these animals by average weight, most to least. Tiger's the biggest, but probably the heaviest. I feel like lions are heavier. And I don't know where gorillas line up on that. I'm just going to say lion, tiger, gorilla. Tiger, lion, gorilla.
Yep.
Tiger still gets it. I should know because we've talked about a tiger
yeah.
and a lion. But do I know these things? No. Last card. Go.
It means to covet and pursue. It's farcical?
Farcical. Like funny. Haha.
Oh, think kangaroo. It means to covet and pursue.
I get that one now.
Think kangaroo. It means to covet and pursue.
Think something funny that's something kangaroo.
I'm not funny. Something that's really funny related to a kangaroo. What?
So that's like ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I honestly have no fucking clue.
It's also a type of card.
A type of card? Credit.
I mean,
debit.
I haven't actually looked at this answer, but I'm assuming what I think it is what it is. Also, if you car someone, you're probably going to jail.
Car someone.
Car blank someone.
Jack.
Yep. Kangaroo Jack. Is that what it is?
No.
Oh, shit, what is it?
Court.
Okay, read that.
The reference
one.
Is to a kangaroo court.
No, kangaroo to a court, I've heard it, but what is the first one? To covet or pursue?
Yeah, it means to covet
to
and
like,
pursue.
Okay, I get it now. See, I was wrong anyway. So neither of us would have gotten that one.
Yeah.
Jack, see, I saw his covet as like I'm stealing, which is jacking something. Anyway, all right, here we go. Last one. Oh, boy. Arrange these types of meat by the amount consumed in the U.S. annually, most to least. Red meat, beef, veal, lamb, pork, poultry, chicken, and turkey, fish, and shellfish. Well, beef or chicken has to go first. Looks like we do a lot of hamburgers. But we also do a shit ton of chicken.
Yeah.
I'm going to say poultry, red meat, fish, and shellfish. Red meat, poultry.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's by weight.
Wait, that's wrong. Oh, God, come back. All right, how'd we do?
Let's see, what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7?
I got 8 right. I got 10 right. Because there's 12, right?
Yeah.
Yay! So anyway, that's a game called Wits End, and it's fun because it's different things, but it's usually frustrating. And when we played it, we all wound up just ganging together, and whoever was the closest to winning, we all just worked together to get them to win because some of the questions are crazy. So anyway, but yeah, there's some animal ones. And appreciate
that were ball.
One you were mad about. Appreciate my little cat.
Yeah, they're
pretty great. Anyway, but that brings us to the end of episode 29, Casey.
Yes.
So thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us on episode 29 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your host, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the next episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast.